Welcome. You're listening to The Aligned Self, conversations in creating a conscious and abundant life. This is Daniel Denovi. I'll be your guide and host. Let's see just where we can take this. Hello, friend, and welcome into this Quotable Monday. If you're not familiar with it, I make an attempt every Monday to feature a quote that has been meaningful to me or potentially meaningful to you. Then I expand the conversation around it just to dive a little deeper and hopefully give a whole new perspective or a whole new understanding to the quote than you originally received. Today I'm going to feature a quote that I've been hearing out in the marketplace, out in, you know, on YouTube and different places that has been attributed to Stephen Covey. But I know for a fact that he's not the first one to say it. But I imagine, though, that it's a little more, I guess, socially acceptable that they attribute it to Stephen Covey. He wrote the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, rather than the person that said it originally, which is Anais Nin. You see, Anais was an author, a diarist, just an interesting character all around that lived in the early 20th century. She was of Cuban-Spanish descent and had migrated or ended up in Paris. And in Paris in the 20s and the 30s, there was a collective of people that would meet at coffee houses and talk about philosophy and Jungian psychology and theosophy. And I don't know if it was because of her life circumstance or because she was in this ongoing conversation, this collective, that she was, I guess, pursuing an idea of who she was, her self-identity, and her relationship to the, I guess, the socially accepted norm for a woman at that time. Not only in her role as an author, because a lot of men were an author, they had a lot more esteem than women, but she was also quite sexually adventurous. Even though she was married, they had an open relationship, from what I understand. And in her diary, she wrote extensively about her relationships with women, with various men, and even group sexual situations. And her diaries are considered among the first works of erotic literature. And so while she was alive, most of her work was banned or not brought out into public. And so this is why I think attributing this quote to Stephen Covey is a little more socially acceptable, especially with different coaches and different people exploring consciousness, which personally I think is a shame, because I think anyone that is invested in investigating who are they, what does it mean to be me, deserves all the credit of their discoveries, because it is the epic adventure. So you might be asking, Daniel, what is the quote? Like, tell me what the quote is. The quote is, "We do not see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. We do not see the world as it is. We see the world as we are." And so I want to dive deeper on this because it is actually the idea behind it underpins everything that I do around self-concept, self-identity, reality creation, manifesting. The world is a reflection of your mind. All your relationships are actually a projection of your own inner belief system. How you experience other people is actually a mirror to look at yourself, what's going on inside. For instance, about a month ago, I ordered some inkjet cartridges for my laser printer. I have a source that connects me with remanufactured inkjet cartridges, and they were great. They're like a third of the price of, you know, name brand, the Hewlett-Packard name brand. And I might as well give them a plug. And they are LD products. And I've been using them for about 5 years. I just love, you know, their service. I love their delivery. But what's interesting is about a month ago, I ordered the 4-pack of, you know, it's a color printer. So you've got black and then 3 primary colors. They had trouble delivering it to me. They kept returning it. Like, I'd be waiting for it. I was running out of ink. And so I was tracking the package, and it would show that it was out for delivery. Next thing I know, it's being returned to the shipper. No reason why. So I investigate, and they send it out again, you know, a new shipment, and the same thing happens again. So by this time, I'm 2 weeks in. And then I have them send it again. And they said, for some reason, the wrong address is being put on the package. Well, my address hasn't changed. I've been using them for 5 years. And the address on file is the address they should have been sending it to. Well, as luck would have it, the package actually arrived in the manner that they said it would once everything was corrected. But then I took the cartridges out to put them in the printer yesterday, and the black is not the right cartridge. It belongs to a different printer. It's not the one I ordered. Well, I immediately went to the website and put in a service request and told them what the problem was, and I'm still waiting to hear from them because I just sent it out last night. But let's get back to the inquiry. And so this is where we go back to the quote, the world is a mirror of your mind. You don't see the world the way it is. You see it how you are. So I turned the mirror on myself. I began self-reflecting, like, what is the dynamic going on here with this package problem? They weren't delivering. I mean, this is where we look at the overall theme of what's going on. And I was ordering a package and it was not getting delivered. They actually fulfilled on the product, and it wasn't what I asked for. They didn't deliver it. And so in looking at myself, I asked, where am I not delivering? Well, the first thing that popped in my head was the podcast. I've promised to make a certain number of episodes a week, and since the first of the year, I've not done that. I mean, I'm still producing, but not in the frequency. I'm just not doing it the way I said I would do it. And then I started looking at some of my courses. Where am I behind in my delivery? Oh, I started seeing all these little instances where I allowed circumstances to get in the way. And as a consequence, I wasn't delivering in the way I said I would from the beginning. And I'm like, oh, well, that makes total sense. No wonder I'm having issues with this package arriving. It's how I'm being. Again, the world isn't the way it is. It's showing up as a reflection of how you're being. And this has broader implications for manifesting. A lot of people think, like, manifesting isn't working for me. Well, the truth is that manifesting, law of attraction, is always working. It never not works. And so if things are showing up that you don't necessarily want, or what you think you want, or the intentions that you're putting out in the world don't seem to be being fulfilled, it's a reflection of where your state of mind is, what's going on inside you. And I'm not pointing blame. We don't want to point blame. Oh, there's something wrong with me. My manifesting gene is screwed up. No, it's your focus. And it's the underlying energy, the underlying tone of what's in the background. Oftentimes, we don't want to look at what's underneath. And I found this to be true in my self-personality training. When I really look at it, there's aspects of our personalities that people don't want to look at because they're in some way ashamed of it, or they think it is less than, or I guess not as evolved. And so when we check in with that part or that sub-personality, typically there's a cursory response of, you know, like, just rise above it. Like, get over yourself. Like, you fall down, skin your knee, get up. I remember that often in basketball. You dive for a ball and you got skin left all over the floor, and you got this big raspberry, strawberry, they call it, because it just bleeds off the, you know. Anyways, you're told consistently, get up and get back in the game. Well, we say that to our younger self, our different aspects that at some point in our life, you know, we were challenged. For instance, I had a client, Natalie. She was like 6, 7 years old. They went out on recess, and then they rang the bell, ending recess, and she was excited to get back into class. And she was like one of the first ones in line. Well, all the kids started lining up behind her, and she wasn't really big at the time. So as the kids lined up behind her, they kept pushing her and pushing her, and she felt pressed up against the door like she was going to be crushed. And here she was at age 6 or 7, fearing for her life, and the playground attendant was right there. She didn't know it at the time, but this memory came up in our inquiry, and she realized that she made a decision in that moment that no one's watching out for her. She's alone. And the world is a dangerous place. And so in working with her, I had her in her mind's eye. go back and be, her present self, go back and be with her younger self and have a conversation with her. What did she need to know at that moment? What would have made a difference for her younger self? Her response was interesting. As she talked to her younger self, she said, "You were never really in danger. It wasn't that big a deal. The doors opened just a few seconds after that and you were just fine. There's nothing to worry about." Well, on the surface, that seems completely plausible because it's all true on some level. But it's a lot like my experience playing basketball. You're lying on the floor, wounded, it hurts. Get up and get back in the game. But what she was unwilling in that moment to be present to is that she felt vulnerable. And so I asked her, "Would it be all right if I went back and talked to your younger self?" And this is a critical part of working with different subpersonalities. When there is a potential traumatic event in your past life, and you go back and talk with your younger self, you have to be with yourself at that moment. What were you feeling then? What were the fears? What were the circumstances? And so in this scenario, I leaned in and whispered in Natalie's ear, "Little Natalie, I said, oh my gosh, this is so scary, but it's okay. I know it doesn't feel like it right at this moment, but you're going to be okay. Even though this moment feels like it's never going to end, you're going to live to be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. You're going to get married and you're going to have a baby. You're going to live a full life. And even though you don't know it yet, right at this moment, the playground attendant is going to push the kids back and open up the door, and you'll be fine. In fact, you are fine. Right now, in this moment, you are safe and secure. And you can take this feeling of safety and security with you wherever you go. And I know if this situation, you see, I'm actually talking softer to a 6-year-old or to a 7-year-old. You don't want to be curse or, you know, short, explain it away simply. You want to meet them in their world. I know for a fact that if this moment had lasted any longer, you could have screamed. You could have screamed to the top of your lungs and the playground attendant would have come over right away. And it's true, at this second, right now, no one knows you're there. Nobody knows you feel like you're in danger because you're being quiet. But everyone's screaming, everyone's excited, everyone's laughing. But you have resources to call attention to yourself, resources to get out of this situation. So let me introduce you to your older self. Big Natalie, this is Little Natalie. You are the same person. Then I had Big Natalie tell Little Natalie that you will always be there to protect her. You always have her back. You will always figure out a way to satisfy your needs. And then she said, "I love you. I will always love you." And she picked up Little Natalie and held her close in her arms. "I've got you." Well, in that moment, we rewrote the past. And I asked Big Natalie, how does it feel now? When you think back to that situation, she said, "It's lifted. That feeling of anxiety, that feeling of fear, that underlying anxiety is gone." And that's how it works. That's how it works when you work with your subpersonalities. And that's only one technique. That's only one of, a possible exercise you can do. But my point of the story is that oftentimes we don't want to be with those shadow aspects, those less than moments, those vulnerable moments. And oftentimes that self-reflection, that willingness to actually look at how am I being vulnerable in this moment. Like for myself, I looked inside. I've made promises that I'm not keeping. I've made promises that I'm not following through on. That is a lack of integrity. And there's not a judgment there. It's just the facts. So once you identify the facts, then you can correct it. I'm not going to make myself wrong over it. It was what it was. And this way of being is manifesting out in the world. So if I want to correct that, then I correct my behavior inside. I correct my thinking inside. I make a new commitment. Remember, the world is a mirror of your mind. And whatever your story is, whatever your beliefs are, the world will be reflected in your position, how you are choosing to see the world. this discovery is actually part of your spiritual journey to bring the unconscious aspects of your experience into conscious awareness. And then once you're conscious of it, because a lot of people stop there, they think I have an insight. I know where this comes from. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Well, insight doesn't change anything. And then sometimes we don't take responsibility for it. We discover something that is underneath the surface. Oh, that's a subconscious process. That's my unconscious putting this into practice. Well, now you're empowered. Once you understand that, oh, this was unconscious before, now I'm conscious of it, then you can either choose it or release it. You can tell a new story. You can focus your mind in a different way. Just because it happened in the past or it was unconscious at one point doesn't mean it has to remain a motivator and instigator of your behavior today. I really want you to look at this because it has deep ramifications for everything in your life. A lot of people say the world is messed up right now. There's all these terrible things going on. Like, people are crazy. It's nuts. It's like there's no certainty. Well, my friend, this is what you're choosing to look at. And as a reflection point, it may be your self-concept seems shaky, weak in some areas, iffy, confusing. And so if it feels like you don't know necessarily what's going on in the world, maybe you haven't really looked at what is my self-concept, what is my identity, what's my relationship with reality. Because I can say from personal experience, when you get solid in who you are and what you stand for, then the world seems a lot more predictable because you are more predictable. I was first exposed to this quote when I was in my 20s. That's over 40 years ago. And I immediately got it. It just made sense to me. But then I'd also been studying some other aspects of philosophy at that point in time and understood that we interpret the world through our five senses. We essentially make up our reality. Well, this has been proved time and time again in philosophy and now quantum physics and other aspects of the sciences that we create our reality just in our role as an observer. And then we can talk about the placebo effect and the self-fulfilling prophecy. And you start to see all the different ways we actually manifest and create our reality. And this is where you want to look at what's showing up in your life. And if it's not what you want, don't make yourself bad. Don't get judgmental over yourself. No blaming. Look at it with an air of curiosity and interest, intrigued. Isn't that interesting? Isn't this fascinating how this is showing up? I wonder what's going on. And as an inquiry, you start to discover, oh, I'm thinking this. Well, that's getting me that's bringing me what I don't want. So I'm going to shift it. What do I want? And start aligning your thoughts. Start creating an internal story that will start attracting what you do want and not what you don't want. And so the world isn't the way it is. It is the way you are. Until next time, this is your friend and host, Daniel Danovi, urging you to follow your bliss. Live your life from inner signals. Be inner directed as you engage in the epic adventure.